Welcome to Harvest with Sierra and Lee. We are excited to bring you a brand new series where we will be discussing all areas of womanhood with some of our dearest heroes.
And we know that this can typically be overused and undertaught, but hang with us as we take a deeper dive into a Proverbs 31 woman. And we can't promise that it won't sound cliche at times, but we are hoping that this series will bring a fresh conviction and a hunger to be everything that God has called us to be.
We hope you enjoy The Making of a Godly Woman, a work in progress.
We hope you enjoyed episode one, and as the series continues, we thought, what better way to kick off this season than with our number one fans?
You know what, Sierra? I think you are right. The Bible has fully laid out where we want to start with the making of a godly woman. It's in Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life.
That will preach. And do you know what, Lee?
What's that?
Our guests, they have found themselves some virtuous wives.
They have struck gold, baby.
I'm telling you.
They worked hard. They
harder than a ruby to find, but yet here we are.
They did it. They did it. It doesn't happen very often, but these men, that's why we pulled them on tonight, right?
That's right. The Bible said, find a virtuous wife. How can one? We found two that could.
How can one?
Number one fans, best friends, husbands, Ryan and Ethan.
That's right. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed episode two, The Making of a Godly Woman, Marriage Progress. Welcome to Harvest. I'm Lee.
And I'm Sierra. And we are so excited to be here with our husbands, Ryan and Ethan.
That's right.
Hello.
In unison. This is a little bit better than the closet, right, guys?
Way better than the closet.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, 100%, because I'm not pregnant, so feels right.
That too.
We're on a very spacious table. Got our equipment back out. Do y'all hear that? Crispness?
Crisp.
That's the equipment. And we're just really excited. We love whenever we get to have Ryan and Ethan on the podcast. It's a lot of fun for us. Mm-hmm. And you guys were about it. You sent in the questions. Y'all were guessing left and right.
So many.
Yeah. Y'all did not disappoint. Mm-mm. Typically, Lee and I have to like buff up the questions part. You know, we get like two or three and then we're like, oh crap, let's get five. But this time we did not need to buff up anything. Y'all came out. You showed up.
You posted that. I had enough time to get home and you were already like texting me.
It was crazy. Like our people love to hear about marriage first. And then as soon as we were like, who's our guest? Some girl was like, Ryan and Ethan.
That's right.
She was so quick. And I was like, how'd you know? And she was like, we need their perspective.
The people want to know.
Uh-oh. Hopefully we don't disappoint.
You won't.
So we'll kick it off with a fan favorite. And y'all formally know it as an icebreaker, but we started calling it, wouldn't you like to know?
Nice.
Boom, boom, boom.
I really want to press a
button. Yeah, I know.
Button.
We need a button. Okay, so I'll ask Ryan first.
Of course.
Okay, and also I would like for y'all to remember that we have a lot of listening fans who think really highly of us.
That's right.
So just really hype us up here, okay, guys? Okay. What is something your spouse does intentionally to make you feel loved?
So I actually tease Leanne about this often, but I feel like she gives me an opportunity to be honored by always being the one that puts gas in her car.
Hmm.
Yeah, she always leaves her car on E.
Does it make you feel so loved?
So intentionally.
So loved.
Yeah. No. I intentionally let it go to E.
Okay. See, there is some intentionality in there. Okay.
100%.
No, for real. I think that, so there's probably 1,000 things, but what means the most to me is the things that Leanne does that I know she doesn't like to do, but she knows I love them. And so, for example, be ready to be surprised. She eats pizza because of me. She hates pizza. But she knows I love pizza. And I think you actually said that in the last podcast, actually. But she eats pizza with me because I love it. It's one of my favorite foods.
What a good woman.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm virtuous.
And she's actually not much of a movie watcher, but she knows that I love movies. She'll watch some movies, but she'll even watch the movies I like. And so for me, that's actually a big deal.
Yeah.
Because those are my two love languages, is like food
In movies.
In movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm like, I actually feel like that needs to be emphasized. I don't think a lot of people would guess that about you, but you have a deep love for movies.
A very deep love.
Very deep love.
Started way back when he was a kid.
It did, yeah.
At the movie theater.
What's funny?
How do I know that? Years of friendship.
That's right. We've been to so many movies together, so many movies, and I can't tell you any that I just love you so much. I'll let you pick them all.
Man, add that. Could somebody add that into Proverbs 31, please? Eats pizza, watches movies.
That's right. Honest.
Who can find that woman?
Such a virtue. Yes.
Okay, Lee. Okay. What is something your spouse does?
Okay.
That'd be Ryan.
So I was like, we were talking about this before the podcast, and I was like, you do so many things to make me feel loved. And I started listing off all of them. He was like, yeah, I just do those because I want to. I don't even think about it. I'm doing it intentionally.
He's like, it's not even about you, girl.
I was like, oh, that makes me feel really loved. Like when my car is empty, but specifically what makes, so this is so weird, but I remember not very long ago, my car needed like an oil change or maybe the tires needed something to be done. And so I asked Ryan, I'm like, hey, this needs to be done. He's like, okay, go do it. I'm like, it would make me feel so taken care of if you did it.
Go do it.
Go do the car stuff, like yeah. The oil, the tires, anything. Like I can.
Totally.
And I have.
You are so capable.
I'm so capable.
That's right.
But I'm like, I don't know why, but I'm like, that like checks off a little like special box in my heart when I know that he's like, I don't have to like nag him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, oh, it's time to get an oil change. I'll take it.
That's the equivalent of me letting you eat pizza with me too. You don't like it, but you do it because you love me. I hate car work, and I really don't know a lot about cars anyways, but any time those maintenance stuff needs to get done, I gotta work on that as a man.
Yeah.
I'm working on that progress.
There were some spicy things that I thought you might be able, you might say, but I'm glad you didn't. We're gonna keep it PG tonight.
Oh yes, this is for the sake of me.
For the sake of everybody.
And we're
roll back to the closet podcast if you want to hear.
Yeah, dear Lord.
So Abram was in the back of the car today and he goes, Mom, what's the name of your podcast? And I said, Harvest Podcast? Why? And he goes, oh, my small group is just like asking and talking about small like podcasts. I was like, baby, no, that's not for kids. And he was like, what? Why? I was like, I mean, it's for like adults. It's like for women. And he was like, oh, I won't tell him the name. Can I just tell my mom has a podcast? I was like,
totally.
Sure.
You're like, it's called Scripture Havens for Kids. That's our podcast name. Look that one up.
Yeah.
Don't even know if that's a real one. So kind of hilarious.
I kept thinking was like, dripstick, dripstick.
Stop.
Dripstick.
Yeah. You're like, no.
Listen to it.
The amount of times the word sex was said in the podcast we all did together the last time. And that I went back and listened. Lee and I went back and listened to some of it today so we wouldn't sound redundant on this one. And literally just started it up and the first thing out of our mouths are like, what level of spicy is this going to be? And I was like, dear God, we're not doing this again. This is not going to be a spicy pot spot.
Spicy podcast.
Okay. So hilariously, Ethan and I were talking about this too before we started recording. I was like, hey, Ethan, what's something that I do to intentionally love you? And then he was like, first thing out of his mouth, he was like, take care of these kids. And I was like, if you say anything about our freaking kids, I'm going to kill you. I'm like, that's a given. I have to take care of them because I love them. So new answer, please.
Well, it's not just a given, but it's just you do such a good job at it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
good.
Sweet.
No, but aside from holding the house down every day, all day.
You're right.
I would say you care about the little things. Like you go out of your way to make me feel loved, specifically bringing me coffee at work.
You are such a, you do. You take that man coffee and lunch.
I do.
You're a good
she
wife.
Does. If she has time to do it and I'm available to do it, she's like, what can I bring you?
You guys.
Dang, the coffee one is a good one.
I just have to confess. It's so selfish.
It's so you can get some
It's too. Literally so I can have coffee and also so I can get out of my house. But it's also because I love you. Yeah.
Field trip.
Every time I'm like, my boys love construction, out of the house for 45 minutes and I get a treat. Yes, please. Just kidding. It is because I love you, too.
Mm,
you're sure. Welcome. You're welcome. And then I was telling Lee, I was like, you know what? When we were talking about this earlier, I said, I don't know anything that Ethan does that's like super romantic. And she was like, I don't mean like romantic. She's like, I don't know. Does he fill up your gas tank? I was like, oh, for sure. I'm like, I let that mug, I'll be running on E for days. I'm like, until Ethan fills it up. That's right.
Said every woman always.
Yeah, it's not even about love. It's literally like just an expectation. I'm like, who do you think I am? I can do it. I'm not going to do it.
Proverbs 31, but girl, I ain't filling up her gas
tank. It doesn't say anything about that gas tank. It just says about the lamp and the oil, but not a gas in the car. Okay. So I was spending some time thinking about this. And what is something that Ethan does intentionally to make me feel loved? He is actually really, really good about letting our kids know when he would like time with just me. So he'll like, Nora will ask to stay up super late or something, and he'll say, no, actually, I think I want to spend some time with your mommy. Like, and we'll close the door or things of that nature. He's like really, really good about being like, hey guys, bedtime's 45 minutes early because I just want to chill with your mom. And every time I'm like, thank you. It like ministers to me so deeply. It makes me feel so loved. I'm like, you love me. I know.
Good
precious,
job. Precious. Good job, guys.
Okay. We thought.
Yep.
We thought it would be really funny because of that Bible binge. It's called the Bible binge. Remember?
Bible binge.
The Bible binge. That's right. Last episode we talked about it and we decided we're going to totally steal that from them. And we're going to give you a Sierra and Lee translation of Proverbs 31 verses 10 through 12.
That's right. Who can find an excellent, moral, right-minded, effective, proficient, skilled, and competent wife? She is highly valuable. She's hard to find.
So hard to find. That's why I started with a question, right?
That's right.
You can't find her. It's hard to find.
It's going to take work.
Okay. And then this is kind of cool. It says, the mind, feelings, and will of a husband can be safely found. Back that up. It said, the mind, feelings, and will of a husband can safely find confidence in her, and that affects the entirety of his life. The mind, will, and the feelings of your husband are all wrapped up in you, the wife.
Can be.
for good.
Yeah.
Or for bad.
Yeah.
That's a lot of power.
Dang, that's exactly what we said, bro.
It's a lot of power, right?
You didn't say that.
I did not. I was like, that's a ton of power. In the Bible, it says, like, she will not do him good, or she will only do him good.
Not harm.
No evil. For all the days of her life, something like that. And we sum that up as, she's not selfish.
Yeah.
Get right, girl. Quit being selfish.
That's right.
More next week. we're only doing 10 through 12. So that's our hot take on it.
We got in the concordance today, y'all.
We sure did. The exhaustive one.
The exhaustive one. We were exhausted.
I actually really love using that. And Ethan has an app now that makes it super easy to do all of those things. But we did it old school. We were like in my room on the floor, 15 books out prepping for this. And when we looked that up about the mind, feelings, and will of a husband, that quite literally blew my mind. If Lee could process through what my face looked like, that would be really wonderful. Because I just stared at her and I was like, are you hearing what I'm saying? like women have power.
They have so much power. Sure. Yeah. Which then it would lead me to, I'm like, so Proverbs 31 is like broken into this like little bitty part 1 through 9 about like how this king should act. He was a king, need to do this. But then the majority of the chapter that his mama was trying to teach him is all about the wife. The person he's going to marry, the wife. Like your actions take up like this majority.
1 through 9.
Yeah. And then the rest of it, she's like had so much instruction for him because I think of that power that women have.
Yeah.
When we take the place of a wife in a household, so much of what we are thinking and processing through and feeling is then broadcast through, and it is going to affect our husbands first.
Yeah.
And then the whole like atmosphere of our home and then our children.
So it matters.
We have a big, yeah. Big,
matters big, who big, you big. Choose because they have big power.
Big power, big responsibility.
True. And it can affect the entirety of your husband. That was literally blowing my mind.
Yeah. Mind, feelings, and will.
Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. it's your whole person.
I'm so sorry, Ryan.
Y'all sense a helpmate, but that helpmate could take you down, fool. Yeah, right?
That's true. That's why it's important to have a wife that loves the Lord.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, that really, because like if y'all's selfishness isn't in check, that can ruin everything. Like, yeah. Same for ours, obviously. But
yeah.
You know, y'all are powerful.
Yeah. You know, I think I've witnessed this in some relationships where you can have a man who's like pretty selfish or maybe like you know, not a big part of the home life. Mm-hmm. And the wife rocks on. She's like, she keeps going, keeps going. She's taking care of the kids, she's taking care of the house, she's taking care of work, she's doing all the things, regardless of like what the guy's attitude is sometimes. But I feel like there's a huge shift when the wife's attitude is way out of whack. Mm-hmm. It literally does cause like so much chaos.
Oh yeah.
So much chaos. It's crazy to me.
It is. I'm like reminding of that story you said earlier about a couple, but basically the wife has just, she has so much power. And when a wife decides that she's like not going to walk with the Lord, or she's like not going to put those things in check, like Ethan said, it like men become like almost useless. Like it's your mind, your feelings, and your will. Does it make sense? Like it's like you become pretty like,
well, just broken.
Broken, yeah. You don't have anything.
Yeah.
Like you got your strength. Like that's all you got left. That's pick you up by your boots. Yeah. Keep on going, baby.
I feel like you either get a broken man or you get a rebellious man.
Yeah.
Like there's not a whole lot of good options.
That's right.
What you got, Ryan?
I'm just thinking about Proverbs 12, which comes before 31, and it says that an excellent wife is a crown to his husband, to her husband's head, but a shameful wife is like rot in his bones.
It is some serious warnings.
That's a word picture right there, right?
Yeah. Rot in his bones.
You can be so life-giving, obviously, if you're doing things right, but if not, you may never see it on the outside, but within, he's like rotting away.
Yeah,
you
know?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just seen several guys that I've talked to who I can think of who are like manly men, you know? But as far as their wives or their relationship with their wife, it's like they're dying at times, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know how to fix this. This stuff is horrible. And I've just encountered that so many times. It's just crazy to think. It's just so true when you know the truth about it from Scripture and you see it, you're like, well, that's why.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Wild.
That's crazy.
And so you might be thinking to yourselves, why did you bring men on the podcast? Because Ethan even asked me that. He said, didn't you say you're going to bring some powerful women on the podcast? And as Lee and I were thinking, and we were really fleshing this out, we were like, who better to ask these kind of questions to? Like, I don't have the scripture actually pulled up and written out, but that very first, 10 and 11. Will you read 10 and 11 again?
Yeah. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life.
Yes. Oh, and then the next one.
Please. Oh, the next one.
Sorry.
She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life.
Yes. Okay. So it says like she brings him good and not evil. And as we were thinking, we were like fleshing out questions that we would ask women. We were like, what better perspective of like than the man, one that is like.
The one who's being affected.
Like whose feelings, this is just, I'm going to say this 1,000 times because it is blowing me away. His intellect, his will, and his feelings are affected by a woman. And this woman particularly is godly in Proverbs 31. But
praise the Lord.
Yes, we just thought, what better way? So we have some questions to ask. Lee and I will just take turns one at a time. And Ethan and Ryan, either one of you feel free to just answer as you want to.
Yeah, you can just, whoever, or both.
And then if it strikes up some good back and forth, we'll keep that going.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So question number one, what are some evils that this is talking about? So like the harm, what is some of the harm that you feel could destroy a marriage? Like maybe the wife is not so virtuous. Or maybe she is. Maybe she's trying to be virtuous, but she needs some help.
Yeah.
Like what would cause like a rot in your jump, bones?
Yeah.
It's such good imagery.
I think just jumping back to Genesis 3, which is the big warning, big curse, however you want to look at it, that God lays out because of the woman not trusting the man, saying to, you know, we can't eat of this, and she thought she knew better or was deceived either way. And then the man's role obviously wasn't being fulfilled in the right way there as well, so that's led to it. But the big warning after that to the woman is you'll want to rule over your husband, right? And I think when I've seen in other relationships, or I advocate even some of my responsibilities because I may be like the man's curse is you'll have to work hard and toil. Mm-hmm. And so the woman's always fighting to not rule over her husband. And the husband's always working hard. So then he tries to maybe get some rest in his house. And the slack gets thrown off. And just the throwing off of the balance, I think, to the wife to not just be cognizant of that curse all the time that
yeah.
could sneak into your house and you want to rule over your husband. And then a husband feeling like he's emasculated at the house or he can't do anything right or fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And you start to see him just lose little battles at home. And then his confidence is gone.
Yeah.
His trust is gone. And I don't mean like, hey, you don't know what she's doing when she goes out. But when you start to doubt yourself, then most of the time that stuff is not the way things are, but the way you
yeah.
are, right?
Yeah.
And so you start to look internally, and then it builds all these insecurities, which then just leads to problems regardless, you know? So I think that the balance being not the way that the scripture has designed it to be, messing that order up is what's going to be, I mean, the biggest warning that I can find that in scripture that we give of something that can really cause an evil, I guess.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the way the wife talks about the husband, specifically in public, like, I feel like Sierra does such a good job of like talking me up, but now I've seen and heard bad examples of this where it's like it's the wife belittles the husband in public.
Yeah.
And as a man, that's like the worst thing ever, you know, because we're already dealing with all of our pride issues or what have you. And if you're the one person that's supposed to love you is talking down on you in public yeah. in front of your friends or whatever. That's never good, you know? But yeah, I would say belittling in public is definitely an evil.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I've heard that before. It makes yeah. me, do we need to pause?
Yeah.
I think maybe his mic died.
I think what you're saying is so good, man, because it seems like it's a lot in line with what I'm saying, you know, mm-hmm. you're given a little bit different perspective of it. But when she's belittling you, it's taking away the role you should have in a way. Right. And so she's taking away the honor
mm-hmm.
of it. And in reality, if you know, the first portion of Proverbs 31 is talking to the king, what a king should look like and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to Proverbs 12, what I just read earlier, and it's talking about the wife should be a crown to the husband's head,
right.
which kind of alludes to kingship.
Yes.
And so if she honors, like a king should be honored, then she becomes an excellent wife. It's almost a self-fulfilling there, you know? And then he's yeah. able to feel confident that he can then take the role on that scripture declares he should have. But without that confidence, I don't know who it was a long time ago. I feel like when I was in college, I heard a guy named probably Kurt Harlow said it at like SALT or something. But he basically said that every woman wants the star football player, the star quarterback, and every guy wants the head cheerleader. And what she's really looking for is somebody who can execute, fulfill the role. And what he's really looking for is someone who's always going to cheer him on and encourage him. And so when you have that work right, it's kind of a picture we can all kind of at least relate to. Corny example, but it is what we want as husbands, right? Is somebody who we feel like is going to trust us. Even if a mistake's made, they're going to give us the authority to make that mistake.
Yeah.
And the trust to know that if a mistake's made, that doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but we can regroup. We're going to be trusted to still take on the next big decision, and we're going to be honored regardless.
Yeah.
Because even if we make a mistake and it's known within our house, we don't have to worry about in public, like you were just talking
yeah.
about, you know, the wife taking away that piece of dignity.
Yeah.
And so it's huge, yeah.
Okay. I, just for fun, just for our listeners, like if as a woman, if I were trying to pinpoint, we'll say the top six. top six evils. So that fall under that category. So it will sound a little bit redundant, but if you could give like a name to six things, what are those six evils? Rapid fire. Belittling, you said.
So dishonoring, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Be... lack of respect.
Yeah, yeah, that's a huge one.
Mm-hmm. Not trusting, like no trust.
Okay, yeah, no trust. So like? No respect, dishonor, lack of trust. We're great people to answer this too.
Y'all are helpers, hello.
Let us sign in. Yeah.
Non-submissive.
Ooh.
Oh, very. Yeah, somebody who's non-submissive. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
non-submissive. A non-submissive wife.
I would say a nagger too.
I was literally on the tip of my tongue. I was like,
that's biblical too. Yeah. You know.
Them nagging wives. You better go live in a desert. Better to live in a desert than with that nagging wife.
For sure.
I would say, it's like non-submissive, I think is a really good word, but also a woman that like, if you are like the leadership role, like that's like your craving, like you crave to rule over your husband. Like
sure, yeah.
Ryan's huge warning. Well, we'll tie that in. So that's number five, Ryan's big warning. Well, God's big warning. Yeah. That Ryan reminded us of.
That's right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Can you ask?
How do you be a powerful woman, but not be without being overly
assertive?
I don't think it's a lack of assertiveness that women need to show, but it's a respect for authority.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I can be assertive and voice my opinions and take like, right. I can be bold, because there's safety in our marriage. But I think it comes to when I'm like, when that assertiveness takes on like a, like I'm demeaning somebody else, you know, like if Ryan were to like ask me like, what do you think about this? Like I'm thinking about buying a boat. I can be like, wow, I don't think that's a great idea. I really don't like that idea. I'm pretty sure that's a bad idea. And he's like, no, it's a great idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go fishing. We're going to go boating. We're going to be ministers on that lake. We're going to go win the lost out at Lake Bryan. We're going to blast Jesus music all over. I'm like, it's really expensive. Like, it's really expensive. Like, I don't know if it's actually in the budget. We can like look at it together, but I don't think it's there. He's like, no, I don't need to look at the budget. I'm doing it. I'm like, okay, well, I really don't like this idea, but I love you. So this one's going to be on you, man.
Well, that's a very safe example because I'm not a huge boat fan, so I wouldn't think or consider that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think
I don't know. Assertiveness isn't bad.
No, it's not. I think Elizabeth Elliot, like, in the book, Let Me Be a Woman, she like kind of goes over what a submissive wife looks like. So mm-hmm. Beast calls them a pillar. Mm-hmm. She says that like a woman is like a pillar to her husband. Mm-hmm. And she says that like if we're buying a boat, if that's what we're doing, like your wife would actually, in this situation, she wouldn't just like submit to like putting yourself in debt. Like that wouldn't be the submissive thing in that moment. But the submissive thing would be to sit with you and say like, hey, I would love to show you the budget. And I would like to show you like how much this would put us in debt. Do you think like you would want to sit down and look at that with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's like how a woman can be assertive, but like still under submission, right? Like the husband has the final say. Like he's either going to make the choice like, I will gladly put us in debt for the said boat,
mm-hmm.
or I will like heed your advice and I'm going to take that into consideration as I make this choice for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do her justice by any means, but
no, that's amazing because the power there is you could be like, oh, you're not doing that.
Totally.
And every man's gonna be like, you bet. It's going to, you know, with that attitude, that attitude you just expressed was like, well, that's a good idea if our budget can handle it, and mm-hmm. let's look at it together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's where the power is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's like a real gifting. And I actually like that Elizabeth Elliot, she uses the verbiage a lot. Like you've been gifted mm-hmm. marriage. Mm-hmm. Like
it's a gift that you have to steward well.
Yeah. Like it's not like you just got married one day, like the Lord gave you the gift of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about like when you're having to make really big decisions or you're in a marriage and maybe you feel like your husband has let you down in a lot of the decision-making areas, then I think it's like easy for you to assume that role.
Yeah.
Like you think, I know our budget better than him. I know how to run our household better than him. But I think there's a way that you come under the gifting of marriage and you come under your husband, like that you chose, mm-hmm. and you say like, hey, I want to help you the best that I can. Here's all of my resources and I trust you to make the final call.
Yeah.
Right? Like you bring the resources to the table.
That's good. I want to read that book.
It's such a good book. And the chapters are so, it's to her daughter. She wrote this book to her daughter. It's really good. Okay. So if we've gone over the evils, how then can a woman enrich your life with the good that she brings?
The outflow of her walk with God can enrich my life. It can enrich your life.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. a good you one. Know?
Mm-hmm. Like the way you spend time with the Lord enriches my life.
Yeah.
You know, just by what the Lord does in you, it expresses itself outside here, but
yeah.
So yeah, their walk with God for sure.
I would say the antithesis of everything that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Doing the thing, if you're not dishonoring, then you're honoring.
That's right.
If you're not overbearing, mm-hmm. but you're submissive in the right sense.
Yeah.
Right. And so all of those areas that you could be an evil would just be falling into the role that your husband really desires.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to, I know I don't want to, do anything alone.
Right? Yeah.
And same. I really do believe that God has given the wife as a wise counsel, a wise help to you. And to be able to, you want to be able to have somebody who you can be honest with and they can be honest with you. And
yeah.
trust, knowing that you're not going to say something they're not going to trust, and then have this you know, this big fight or banter or whatever.
Yeah.
But just be life-giving in trusting you, allowing you to feel like you have the freedom to make some mistakes and you're still going to be trusted.
Yeah. That's so good.
Honor you in public and you can hear about it, you know. I think all of those things that would take dignity from the man,
mm-hmm.
but when it's restored, I think that, I mean, that's the most life-giving I can think of, you know,
yeah.
the way is to feel supported, to be that cheerleader thing mm-hmm. again, you know.
Mm-hmm. I just want to say this one more time because I was so good and I'm taking a mental note. You said to trust him even after he's made mistakes, like, what was your vernacular? What was the exact thing you said?
Yeah, for sure. Giving him the dignity to make the mistake, letting him know that he
is still trustworthy.
It's okay, but yeah. Yeah, to be to let him feel confident.
Yeah,
and being able to make decisions and not in the back of his mind thinking I'm going to be nagged about like this. She's going to nag at me for this.
That's probably my biggest pet peeve on the planet is a nagging wife.
Well, because then you don't have to.
Sorry, it drives me nuts.
You can still run the household and be and rule over your husband without having to do it in a domineering way. It can be subtly done in the way you react, body language, everything else. You see, you don't have to be.
Yes.
You don't have to be the guy who's, you know, being berated by your wife.
Yeah.
But just not being encouraged can have the same
huge
effect. Yeah,
yep.
For sure.
When Lee and I were talking about this earlier, sorry, these are the exact verbiage I used. I was like, maybe she is not verbal, but I was like, all of the actions that she does without using her words. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you're like, oh, I can, like, I'm off the hook because I don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
But it's like the quick, like you get in bed and you're like, oh, good night. Flip over, turn your body away. Like the cold shouldered, the I don't really care, serve you dinner, be done with it. Like those small actions that just like rip a man of his dignity. I was like, I did tell Lee. That's what I said. You know I can't.
It's even worse because...
Ooh, nagging wives.
Yeah. What we know is that grief is proportional to intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're really intimate with somebody and you know that they know everything about you, they have a really good opportunity to not be bringing that stuff up and keeping no record of wrong, like Scripture says... And still you thinking, okay, they really do trust me. Even though I've made this mistake, they really do love me and they're trying to trust me and they're trying to encourage me. And on the flip side of that, if they choose to hurt you in ways, because we know that what my love language is. Mm-hmm. And
I know what your insecurities are.
For sure.
Exactly.
And you decide to bring those up or not, I mean...
We have, like, so much ammunition.
Oh, basically.
So much.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so, like the, yeah, it can be damaging in that way, mm-hmm. if you can cause so much grief.
Were you going to say something earlier?
What? It's kind of a different turn, but I don't know why this came to my mind when it about enriching our lives. But if you come to a man with options, like if there's an issue, come with, if there's a problem, come with options. That's like the best thing ever. I don't know why I thought on that, but.
Options really minister to you. Maybe not to all men. Maybe some men would be like, actually, I got it. Ethan does love a good option.
I love some options.
He loves some good options.
Can we get an example? What
is it? Yeah. Give us an example.
Your face.
He's like, I'm on the spot. Like,
Three places to eat tonight.
Yeah, do you want...
Give me some options.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. This literally happened the other day. We were asking where you wanted to eat. And you said, this is what I'm in the mood for. So you gave me three options.
Yeah.
And I picked from one of those options. And it was great.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, Ethan, he likes it in all things. Like, pertaining to our kids. Like, there's like something I want to root out in Nora or I need a little bit of help with, I'm like, here's the options on how we're going to go about this. I can, A, handle this by myself. Not going to be so great. B, we could tag team it. Looks like this. C, you tag team it completely all by yourself.
Yeah, you handle it.
And I will watch from a distance.
Most of the time with Nora, it is me.
Yeah, it ministers to her. Yeah.
Daddy's
but
and daughter's man.
Yeah.
Another example is the stuff out front, the in front of
landscaping.
Yeah, landscaping. You brought me options, and we're still discussing those options. But
actually, Bron brought those options. Right, she's really amazing.
But you went through anyway.
Yeah. I did. You love some options. That was a word for people who like options.
Yeah. So you're like, don't come at me with a problem.
Ethan's like, you want to enrich my life? Bring me some options.
I guess it's being around Eli for so long. He's like, don't come with problems. That's come right. with
solutions.
Or at least options to get rid of the problem.
That's right. It makes me laugh so hard whenever I hear anybody at church. They're like, we really need to do this. I'm like, don't say that too
loud.
You're about to be in charge of it.
Okay. You better find your own solution then. Okay. I love that. You're so sweet.
I think I've said that to my mom so many times. She's like, you know what? I think it would be so great. She's like, well, I'm not telling that to anybody.
That's right.
Then I'll have to do it.
Shelly's like, I'm not trying to be the board member of this. I love her.
Oh, that's so great. All right. So question number three, what are the things you would tell your sons to be looking for when thinking about marriage? So if you had to tell your young men, young children, sons, you know, maybe.
You have six of them to talk about.
Yeah, we've got six in this room right now.
Man.
First and foremost, what are you going to look for in a woman?
Well, first and foremost, I'll tell him, you need to get your own stuff right.
Yeah.
You need to get right with God first, and you need to get your own ducks in a row before you even thought about looking for women. But
that is some wisdom.
In regards to like looking for a woman,
it's like hard to imagine. I'm like picturing Abel. I'm like, you better not look for a woman.
I was thinking about this earlier. Like, I would tell him. Find a woman that's not obsessed with you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you cannot be her world. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's right,
yeah.
Like, because I feel like some girls look for these, like, boys that are still babies, you know, to take mm-hmm. care of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but, yeah, I would tell him to find a woman that's not obsessed with you, that can come alongside you in your call from God, yeah. you know? Yeah.
That's a good word.
That's one of the things I'm telling you.
I like what you said. Get your house in order first before you start bringing somebody else into it.
Yeah.
I know.
That's good. I feel like we're going to have this talk real soon with some of our children.
Yeah, yeah,
makes
me
sad and sick at the same time.
So I was 17 when I fell in love, so we just right around the corner.
Yeah. I we tell our boys all the time that basically what Ethan just said is first and foremost is that you need to love the Lord. Big time. That mm-hmm. needs to be your biggest goal. Nothing in your life is going to make mommy or daddy more proud than your walk with the Lord. I don't care what you do, how successful you are, yada, yada, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing to mom and I is that you love the Lord. And so I would only think that the logical conclusion of that is finding a girl who loves the Lord.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have to be attracted to the person.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important factor is going to be the type of woman, their character, mm-hmm. the character they have. And so, if you just get lucky, you'll have both like I did.
Well, totally. And I think that, when we're raising children that aren't just looking at like just the outward appearance, but they're like judging character mm-hmm. and morals, then it's like that we could have America's Next Top Model over here, and then we could have like your next door neighbor, you know, just like sweet little simple woman right here. But the one with the character and the one with like how she speaks and how she interacts and does she love you, like all of that stuff, I feel like makes someone even more. I mean, there's a depth to the beauty there.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not like a shallow thing.
Like a Tim Keller quote that says like that your spouse should be capable of becoming your best friend. And it's like a game changer when you address that kind of question, because mm-hmm. if you're only looking for, it actually says, if you think marriage largely in terms of erotic love, then compatibility means sexual chemistry and appeal. If you think of marriage largely as a way to move into a kind of social status in life you desire, then compatibility means being a part of a desired social class. And the problem with those things is they're not durable. They're mm-hmm. not built on anything that's like long lasting or for a lifetime. But if you can like be attracted to them for sure. But if you like build it on the premise of like, this is my best friend for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Then that's like some stable. Lasting. Yeah.
And that book, that screenshot you shared with me the day of whatever book that was.
Let Me Be a Woman.
I mean, she asked very practical questions of like, when you're married to this person, you're going to spend every waking moment with them every day, every week, every year for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you enjoy being around them?
Yeah.
Like you said, being their friend, like do you enjoy being their friend?
Yeah.
Like, cause you're going to be with them forever. That's you right. know,
it's a long time.
It's a long time.
It's a long time.
It is.
I'm like starting to think like if we were to ask Ryan this, like these series of questions, like when he was looking for a wife.
Yeah.
I'm like, he did not marry a Proverbs 31 woman.
That's okay. You turn into one real
like,
quick.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. The possibility of our children marrying somebody who's like not got it all together is very high. And I think that's okay too. There's like such a deep hope that like the sweet little 19, 20 year old girl they fall in love with has so much potential.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yes.
See, I was having a hard time.
I didn't like that at all. I'm like, just do better. Do better than me. That's like, I think when I think of Nora, I think all of the time, I'm like, one of my biggest dreams and hopes for her is like, I have grown very much into my walk with the Lord, even being married.
Yes.
And I think there is like, hope for that. Yeah. But I'm like, my prayer for Nora is that when a man comes to her, she does have these qualities in her. Like maybe not to their full extent. Mm-hmm. Like maybe she's not like wearing purple linen all the time. You know what I mean? Like
she's not making her own linen from flax.
Yeah, maybe she's not. Maybe she's not waiting at the harbor to get her food. But but I do think like there's like a huge part of me that's like, please, dear God, Nora and my sons, like don't just go find some girl. Right. And think like, if I stick it out with her, she's going to turn into a Proverbs 31 woman, which is not what you're saying.
Yeah, no.
But that is like, that is my fear in life. Like one of my biggest ones, I'm like, please, please find a woman of character. Mm-hmm. Find a woman who loves the Lord. Even if like, she's like learning how to walk with Jesus, there's always hope in that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, just do not missionary date, please, Jesus. It's protect so my children.
Okay.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, so scripture says what it says about a woman too. So when you're thinking about a guy, it's so important that they choose who. I feel like Nora's a little bit safer than guys. Mm-hmm. And why I say that is because scripture says that the woman has the power, right? Mm-hmm. And so the man can rule and should foster this environment in his household. But scripture has example where a woman who prays and leads an example can turn her husband to the Lord, mm-hmm. right? And so the husband should lead properly, but the wife can actually even reverse in a right way if the husband's not, because of that. I mean, because of the power of the will, the mind, all those things that she can wield. So it can be like the most life-giving or the most life-taking thing. Yeah. So that's crazy. Anyway, sorry.
It is crazy.
I will say this, though. Isn't it like, there's like, what is the percentage of families that like get brought to the Lord because the husband starts to like, It's like if a woman goes to church, she'll bring her kids. She might bring her husband. The percentage, the chance of him staying around and sticking around is like 75% or something like that.
Yeah.
But if the husband comes to church and he like he in his mind like this is what we're gonna do, mm-hmm. then it ups it to like 95% that the mm-hmm. family, the whole family, like stays and gets plugged in.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. And usually within the first 10 minutes of the guy being there, he decides whether the pastor is somebody that he can even listen to. So
mm-hmm. wow. So funny.
They choose it off a lot off the guy, yeah.
Man.
Anyways.
Lord help our children make the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Help us to be gracious.
Help. Please, Lord, you know I'm going to need extra doses, because I don't even want to think about it. Okay, so these are some of the questions that came in from Instagram. So these are not the rapid fire. These are just two more. Okay, one of them said, once the order has been disrupted in the home, how do you restore it? Like once a woman has gone too far, she's nagged one too many times. She's head of the household.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you restore that?
Man.
Is there a desire for restoration? Are we assuming on your behalf of the woman?
I don't know.
I would assume.
You think so?
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe.
Maybe she's like, our marriage is downhill. It's like downhill. Hit rock bottom. I don't know what to do. Like, but she doesn't know that that's because she took.
Yeah, maybe control. She didn't know she's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine she has some think idea. That she's the problem, or. Well, no, I feel like if she felt that she was the problem, she wouldn't have ever tried to take that role. But she's not been introspective enough potentially to see that the role she's taking belonged to him, and that's why it might be causing a lot of those problems. I would say first and foremost, it has to be taken before the Lord first, right? You'd have to have the Lord really prepare the way in a heart. I know even with me, when there's conversations that have been potentially tough to talk about with Lee and I, and she's taken it before the Lord and like sick the Lord on me mm-hmm. before she decided to talk to me about it. And a lot of times he softened and prepared the way for me to want to say, hey, is there something I can do? And she's like, praise God, I've been waiting for that.
Yeah.
But so I just think that it has to be taken before the Lord first. And then try to, if you're he who seeks counsel is wise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think talking to more mature men who have been married for a long time and asking their advice, or who have been through, you know, potentially have had some problems in marriage that they've worked through, and try to seek out their advice, which I guess is what we're doing right now, right? You guys are asking us to. So I would say that filling in the gap with the Lord, like let him go before you, and then start to have those tough talks, are identifying where you failed as a husband, and then confront that, but say, I feel like because I've abdicated maybe some of my role, that it's left you feeling like you have this and this responsibility, but I'm sorry for that, and I don't want that to happen any longer, and I want to start to take, I want this to start to be the way our marriage looks, and then, and that maybe seem like you're taking all the blame, but if you're the husband, you probably should anyways. A lot of that probably a lot of it is your fault if she's been able to get away with it doing that.
Preach.
And so I think that you'd have to take the hit of that responsibility and own it, and then just apologize for it, but say, I can't let this happen anymore, because I want to be a good example to my sons mm-hmm. on what a house looks like, or I want to be the husband that you deserve for me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it may look like, I just think about when I first ever had to say no to Leanne, or about some big things that when the Lord really started to move in our life, and I was like, hey, we can't live together anymore. I was saying yes to the Lord, but she heard no to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to say yes to the Lord, when I'm going to take this responsibility, that I know you've called me to be this kind of a husband, it may sound like no to your wife, right? She may be hearing no's and feel, but
it's one of my favorite stories.
But if the Lord it's some of her lack of trust in you, but some of her lack of trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If she's not willing to trust you because the Lord has put you in that area, right? Mm-hmm. Over in that house. And so I think that needs to, That's why the Lord's going to have to come before you can address that issue. I don't know if I did any justice. There's a lot of talking, but I don't know an answer.
No, that, yeah.
Revealed. I think it's good.
Not much I can really add, but I guess if the wife has figured out that something's wrong, like she's really had like this moment of like, wow, we're this is jacked. I think she, like you said, there needs to be a conversation. I think she needs to give the crown back to the husband. Like, say, hey, this is your position. And she can even say, I'm sorry too. But I think if she gives that respect and that authority back to the husband, that could definitely restore the proper order.
I think. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right on. And I also think that, if you're wondering, like, has this order been shifted? Like, am I the one in charge? Mm-hmm. I think like some practical questions you could maybe ask yourself is like, question one, does my husband have to run everything by me before a decision can be made?
Yeah.
If so, you might have a little too much say. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying you have no say. You're just right. A little too much. What are some other things? Like some really practical ones that if a woman's listening and she's in that place, like you were just saying, like, she's like, okay, I'm in rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Something in my marriage has to change. Maybe she doesn't know that it's on her. Maybe she doesn't know that it's like on him. Maybe neither one is aware that it's this severe.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say like, one thing that I always try to remember is like, you treat your own selfishness like it's the biggest problem in your marriage.
Mm. That's good.
But if she's listening to this, like, how does she's like, it all just sucks, but she doesn't know why. What are some questions we can kind of give her
to like maybe start asking for herself?
Yeah.
Like maybe like, hey, when was the last time I told him like I trust him?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Thank you for providing for my family, for our family. Like just simple things, I think.
Yeah.
Like I think when, I mean, you've got four kids and working full time and homeschooling and everything. Like, I don't know. Like, do I tell you enough? Like, thank you so much for providing for our family. Like, we miss you a lot, but what you're doing is a big deal, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, just building him up with our words. Ryan's big, big, big on affirmations. So I know that I have to let him know how he's doing. And it's even one of those things where it's like focusing on the good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If whatever you're focusing on with your spouse is what you're going to be harping on.
Oh, yeah.
So you can either focus on all of the wonderful things and harp on those, or it's a whole lot easier to harp on the bad things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, let's weigh them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's like the 99 versus one. Like, I can find 99 good things instead of just, like, focusing on the one bad thing.
Totally. Totally. And let's be honest, some marriages may be like real, real bad. They may be in this, instead of this cycle of like love and respect, they may be in this cycle of like nag and disrespect.
Yeah, totally.
And somebody's got to break the cycle. And so if you're listening to this, be the one.
Be the one.
Be the one to break the cycle. And you just have to just choose to, in your heart and in your mind, be solidified that like, I am going to love this man because I married him. I made a vow to him before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I do that? How do I love him better? And like Ryan was saying, it could just be a conversation. Like, maybe you just need to sit down with him.
Yes. I just read this earlier. Hold on 1 second. I thought it was so good. I read it to Ethan. In any relationship, there will be frightening spells in which your feelings of love dry up. And when that happens, you must remember that the essence of marriage is that it is a covenant, a commitment, and a promise of future love. So what do? You do the acts of love, despite your lack of feeling. You may not feel tender, sympathetic, and eager to please, but in your actions, you must be tender, understanding, forgiving, and helpful. And if you do that, as time goes on, you will not only get through the dry spells, but they will become less frequent and deep, and you will become more constant in your feelings. This is what can happen if you decide to love, which is exactly what you were just saying.
Where'd you get that?
Tim Keller, baby.
Tim Keller. Ooh, I love him. Mm-hmm. You knew.
Yeah.
Meaning a marriage. It's too good.
So good. Yeah.
So I think that's like a...
It's right on. I mean, we say a lot within our circle that feelings follow action.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's without being in our circle, Tim Keller knows that it's so true. It's just the truth, you know?
That's right.
And so if we want to feel a certain way, we should act a certain way and start to, especially when it's tough, is when you act that way, right?
Yeah.
Because that's when it's actually virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody can be nice to those who are nice to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it takes virtue to be kind to those who are not kind to you.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, if you want to love your spouse, it's not very virtuous to love them when times are easy. But when you're choosing to dig in, when you may not feel like it, you do it anyways. And so, yeah, I think two things to remember is feelings follow action, and then feelings are not a true description of reality. So just because you feel a certain way doesn't mean that that's necessarily true. So don't let your feelings dictate how you act, but the way you act dictate the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so acting it out, loving when it's hard is what makes you, is like what the king does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, it's just, it's huge. It has to be done. And when you learn to make it a habit, you habit your life that way, then it does start to become a whole lot easier. It makes those high times more frequent and the low times less frequent.
Yeah,
absolutely.
More tolerable.
I think that answers this. Yeah. Sorry. I think the next question was like, how do you choose honor and respect even when you don't feel it? And I think we just answered that pretty good. Mm-hmm. Unless there's anything y'all would add.
Yeah, no.
The only thing I would add is that love is a choice.
Yeah.
You have to choose it.
That's good. I think we just nailed that one. Okay, Lee, you got another question?
Sure. Yep. What does it look like to inspire your husband as he leads? This is from our Instagram.
This was an Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that's for y'all.
Oh.
What does it look like to inspire your husband?
Oh yeah, that is for us.
Yeah.
Well, how would you like us to
inspire
you?
What would you want to be inspired? How would you want inspiration?
For Ryan, it's affirmation. Like letting him know verbally, like, you're doing a great job. You're on the right track. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, physically is fine, too. But
I know.
Yeah. Okay. What does it look like
moving on
to inspire your husband as he leads? Man, I thought this question was really good, actually, for an Instagram question. I was like, girl.
Yeah.
That's too good.
Bringing it. I think you have to stick your husband in. This is very, I feel like it's a very personal, individualized question. Mm-hmm. So what does it look like for you? Ask yourself, like, what inspires him? Like, what, I know what inspires Ryan. It's like compliments, and it's like, what's it called at work? When somebody writes a note about you. Accommodation. Yeah. like those things that like mean a lot. I'm the same way. I'm like, I love a good sticky note from someone that said like, hey, I saw what you did. Great job.
Great job.
Yeah. Like, so words of affirmation for sure for Ryan.
I kind of read this question as like, maybe your husband's not leading and how do you inspire him to lead? Oh. I kind of take it like that, like less of like what inspires Ethan, but I take it more of like, hey, like I'm desiring for my husband to be in this role, but instead of being like, hey, get up and lead our family, how do you inspire and cultivate that kind of
leadership
like
in him?
Desire for him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how I could be wrong. Your husband could be leading you so good, girl, and do what Lee said. Give him some affirmations, baby. Or if that's not his thing, then give him some touches. I don't know. But that's how I was interpreting it. So that's what I've been trying to think about.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was a husband question.
Wait, if she's asking, what can I do to inspire him to lead, right? Ask what he thinks. What do you think of this? Like, if it's whatever situation, what do you think?
That's good.
Yeah. Simple,
yet profound.
And he'll begin to think his input is valuable.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, so then, take it to church.
Yeah. And then I think, too, the same thing is, if you guys, I can't remember what it's called, like the failure project or whatever.
No idea.
Basically there's like a classroom, and half the classroom has answers on one of their pieces of paper, and the other half has the answers on another. And initially, like, they all have the first two questions are exactly the same, so you're supposed to finish the question in your head, raise your hand. And so, like, everybody's raising their hand initially, and then it gets to past one and two questions, and only one half the room starts to raise their hand.
To know the answers, yeah.
Yeah, because the other half, it's like basically put the letters in order to where it makes a word.
Yeah.
But the people on the right side of the room don't have actual letters that form a word. But they don't know it.
Yeah.
But the other side of the room is like, oh, this
it's
is
like,
easy.
It's like T-C-A, cat. Like, yeah. It's like real simple
yeah, they have
words.
Real easy ones. Yeah. And so their hand's going up quick. And as the words get harder, well, they're impossible anyways, on the other side. Or maybe they have some real difficult ones, and then they become impossible. And the other side's getting easier, so their hand's going up even faster. And the people on the other side are just starting to feel defeated.
Totally.
And they're not even concentrating on their paper anymore.
They're just like, what is happening?
Yeah, they're just giving up. And so reason I even say that is because if your husband thinks that he's failing all the time, he's going to want to give up.
Man. Yes.
And so if maybe even just the little things of just opening up and saying, hey, I really noticed you took out the trash today. It made me feel so appreciated when you did that. And giving him small victories throughout the day or throughout the week.
Yes.
And then him not feeling like everything he does
yes.
is a fail
yeah.
or a nag for yeah. whatever, right?
Yeah.
Is so I just think that that would be one way I would think that you could inspire him to the, well, especially if his words are, or if his love language is words of affirmation. I mean, mm-hmm. that's going to be inspiring. Maybe that's why yeah. I feel like, but.
But if, okay, so if it's not words of affirmation, say it's like Ethan, who is very much an acts of service mm-hmm. and a physical touch kind of person, then maybe that would look like giving him opportunities to really start leading.
Yeah.
Like
purposefully.
Purposefully, like mm-hmm. above and beyond. Like mm-hmm. maybe you can see that the kids are kind of getting crazy and it's a Saturday and you're like, hey, these kids are kind of acting crazy. Are you thinking we should take them to the park?
Would you like to take them to the park? Or would you like to take them to McDonald's?
Yeah, give them some options. I don't know. That's like really silly, but maybe it could be really intentional. Like not options. No, that's stuck in my head. This is also a late night podcast. So, but maybe it's like not acts of like affirmation. So maybe you're not like wording him into yeah. his leading, but yeah. maybe you're giving him really practical ways to start leading, and you're not inputting your mouth into the situation. What yeah. what is that? Like you're not your mouth is closed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You stopped. I want to say shut up. Yeah. I want to say like you finally shut up about it and you like gave him the opportunity to actually lead in that situation.
Yeah.
Maybe not about taking your kids to the park, but maybe it's an acts of service kind of thing. Okay. These are rapid fire. So answer as quickly as you can. We'll ask as quickly as we can. You answer as quickly as you can. We don't spend a lot of time on it. All right, you ready?
Ready.
Blue.
How do you balance a healthy marriage with working, raising little ones, serving, going to church, etc.?
Appreciate each other. Give hugs. Kiss them.
Date nights. Right. You said lots of physical touch. That's what Ethan just said, to summarize.
Yeah.
Healthy marriage, physical touch.
Sure. So I say, what do you say when you have a baby and you're a new parent? Is sleep when the baby's sleeping, you sleep. Mm-hmm. So when you have opportunity to do it, in other words, take advantage of it when you can. And I think the same thing with a busy life is you take those small wins when you can.
Yeah.
And if you have time to spend time together, spend time together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When you don't, even if that looks like picnic at the baseball fields because you have to have lunch. Right.
Yeah.
Like I may not get to do this, may not look exactly like whatever.
Yeah.
Like it does in all the movies that I love to watch. Right. But
totally.
it may end up being a win because you're maximizing those time. And so life has different stages.
Oh, I just remembered a way that you love me.
Go.
Well, when he'll like go to the gas station and he'll bring me home like a candy bar. He like knows my favorite candy bar. And it's like, I didn't ask for it. He was just thinking about me.
So sweet.
But that's even like, that's taken like a little moment. Like maybe we've had a really busy week. I'm like, oh, you're still thinking about me.
Yes. Did you jot that one down? Candy bars. Oh, okay.
Forgot that one.
He needs options of candy bars.
Yes.
Have y'all seen?
Actually.
Okay.
Which candy bars?
Have y'all seen on surfacing the internet? There's like when you tap on your somebody's name in your phone, there's like an option for you to put like notes in it
mm-hmm.
right under. And so it's like a wife went into her husband's phone and she like put down her entire order, like a Taco Bell, McDonald's, Sonic, that's Whataburger, funny. Like all the Starbucks, Dutch Bros. She put what she likes and all those things. So whenever he touches
her name, it comes up
and he doesn't have to be like, what do you want?
Oh, that's I like
options.
Good idea.
Good.
Okay. How do you balance a healthy marriage with working, raising little ones, serving, church, etc.? I think they,
you did it.
I think those are great answers.
All right. Date night ideas when you have little kids.
Rapid fire, just want to input this, is that sometimes Ethan and I get very rare date nights. Very, very, very stinking rare. And what I think is really special and we've worked really hard to build is we put our kids to bed at a decent time and we spend only 15 minutes cleaning up after everything's done. And the rest of that time we spend just us two, just together in our room. Like our kids are like, we're not, nobody's sleeping in our room. Nobody's staying up late. Like we have purposely carved out the evening, like for our family, and then nighttime for us. We're in bed by like 9:30. Like we're not talking stay up till midnight, but we purposefully have like made these
boundaries.
Yeah. These nighttime things like really special because we don't get a lot of date nights, but we do get a lot of time together in the evenings.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And one thing you've done is you've, or one night a month is we're going to have a date night one night a month.
Yeah.
And, if you have littles, you find yourself some wonderful younger people that have no kids.
That's right.
And you say, hey, can we get our schedules to align one night a month?
Yeah.
So you can just watch, so you can be at the house while the kids are in bed. They've already had dinner, so it's really easy for the babysitters.
Yeah. Use our Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We cooked dinner. We cooked dinner for them and we were like, please, one night a month, can we just bank on you guys coming over?
Yeah.
And from this time to this time, watching our kids. And they agreed. And we were like, thank you, God.
That's awesome.
So I think that's a really good option.
That's a really great option.
Anything on, Brian? Do you remember having littles?
I was like, there's a whole new life. We're just like, peace out, boys.
You're like, Maddox, you got these kids. Yeah.
Don't come upstairs.
Yeah.
Stop. You're like, these doors don't lock.
Truly.
They know what that means now, so they're like, oh, gosh. Yeah.
When I learned that your boys knew what that meant was when we were in Arizona all together, all three of us, CMC. You remember that?
I mean, I remember
CMC. Yeah, I was like, do you not remember CMC?
I don't remember.
Okay, we were there, and Lee was like, she was like telling me a story, and she's like, you know, like, put the do not disturb sign on. Our boys are like cool beans. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. They know now. Parents need boundaries. I'm like, dear God, they're not babies anymore. They're not. And then I said to myself, I said, that is so weird. I actually said it to Mariah. I was like, isn't this like so trippy? Like their boys are so old. She goes, actually, that is sound freaking parenting. She was like, good for them. And I was like,
thanks, Mariah.
Yeah, good for them. That's so good. I wrote it down in my brain. I was like, yes, that is good parenting. It just blew my mind because they're getting so big. Yes. Okay, rapid fire.
Good communication tips, rules, sayings, especially when arguing. I feel like we've got some good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lay them out.
Especially good tips, communication. Yeah.
Communication tips, communication rules, communication sayings, some like especially when arguing. Like if things are getting heated.
Yeah.
Like what are some things?
I would say the first and foremost is
rapid fire.
The good thing is if there's trust.
I just say.
As if there's trust there. Then you know you have an ally, not an enemy.
Yeah.
Ooh. And so when they're not coming at you, they're coming with you.
Yep.
With a problem, at a problem, right?
Too good.
And so just knowing that they're your ally and they really do. And if this is what you lack in enforcing, then enforce. So they know, they have confidence in knowing that you are wanting the best for them. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you're even asking the question is because you want the best for them.
Yeah.
And how can we do this together? And I trust you and I want to be with you in this. And what's the resolution that we can reach as an ally in this together? So ally, not an enemy.
Yeah, that's
probably
a good
the
one.
Biggest one.
Yeah.
All right, Lee, you said you have good ones.
Oh, good ones. Yeah, that's one of them. And I think just the way that you come at, like, I know the list of things that are going to lead to a tense conversation with Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like if you've been married for any sort of time, you can probably bank on like, ooh,
yeah,
this is tense. These are easy. And so like Ryan said before, take it to the Lord. Like I want the Lord to soften my spirit, my tone, my attitude, I want to come to him in a way that he's going to be like to not raise his defenses first thing. But I mean, it's real easy to be like, I thought we already talked about this,
you know,
versus like, hey,
I would like to remind you.
Per my last email.
Shout out, Bailey Mullins.
I just would like to remind you guys.
Yeah. So, yeah, coming at him with, like, I can, like I said, I can do it the easy way, and it can be harsh, and it can be like mm-hmm. an arrow, or I can take it to the Lord. I can really put my thoughts and ask the Lord, like, okay, take my whole yeah. attitude captive right now. I really want to get to the bottom of this. I really want a solution. Yeah. What's best for our family here? So I need to come at him in a way that he's going to actually listen.
Yeah. I think that's really good. And I would say that Ethan and I have started hashtag this is from TikTok. Mm-hmm. We started this two like code word system. So like say something has escalated with your kids mm-hmm. and we'll just pretend that I'm handling it for the sake of I'll be the bad guy. So I'm handling it wrong though. I'm like, Ethan can tell. I'm like, I'm starting to raise my voice. I'm kind of getting too aggressive with the kids. I'm mm-hmm. like shutting it down because mm-hmm. everybody's being naughty. Mm-hmm. Ethan has like, we have a code word. Like ours is bananas. And Ethan would be like, oh man, Sierra, can you just remind me to put bananas on the grocery list? Or hey, after this, I got to go pick up some bananas.
He's not like, whoa, you're acting bananas.
Yeah, well, he could, but we try to find like subtle ways to like mention that code word, and that lets both of us know in that exact moment, like, no matter what, like, hey, you need to scale it back, tone it back. Mm-hmm. We can talk about this later. This is not the right approach. Mm-hmm. And our kids are young enough that they haven't caught on.
Yeah.
But I think that's been really like, there's been times where I don't know how to handle the situation, and I'm like, hey, Ethan, crap, we're out of bananas. And he's like, yes, bananas. Every time that's the kind of how it plays out. He's like,
Nora, come here.
Yeah. don't do my baby like that, okay? Bananas, Ethan. And then the other time is like we were talking about using it, like having like a code word that says like, hey, we're arguing, we're getting too deep into this. Let's pin this for
you. Say this is bananas?
Later. That just happens to be our code word with our kids.
Oh, okay.
We just say bananas. That's our
Yeah, I said two more things rapid fire. I would say what you mean, mm-hmm. right? So don't let, like, just say what you mean in plain language. Don't
yeah.
be, yes.
Don't.
Don't yeah. try to make them guess.
Yeah. Yes. Don't make me decipher what
you be very
really
clear.
Want. Yeah. yeah. Just say what you want.
And what is the issue?
Help me to understand. Well, that was the second thing is say what you mean. So say it exactly the way it should be. And then two is make the discussion about what is really the problem.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I know what people do in marriages is you end up fighting about something that was never really the problem.
Yeah.
It's something that didn't get addressed 2 days ago, and then
every little infraction
yeah,
has
it became bitter and bitterness dwelt, and now it's I'm blowing up on you for not picking up your socks or whatever the silly thing is. But make the argument about the argument. So if you don't harbor that stuff, then it won't be that big of a deal, hopefully, anyways.
Yeah.
But, and then just saying in plain language, mm-hmm. don't make me have to,
yeah.
have to have a cheat sheet yeah. Yeah, to figure out what's going on. So,
yeah, I'm fine. Nothing's wrong.
I think that's huge. But that was like something we didn't learn till later in marriage anyway, was just like, sure. I felt like it was like rude to just be like, this is the problem.
Hey, I'm angry about this.
Yeah. I felt like it was like really disrespectful, but it was actually the most respectful thing to kindly be like, this is the problem. Mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. is where I'm struggling. Can we work at this together? At first it felt really rude to me to be like, hi, I have a problem.
Yeah.
It felt super rude. Okay. This is the last rapid fire, and then we'll wrap this up. And, we'll talk more about this one in parenting too. So y'all don't have to like go too deep, but, someone wrote in and said they would love a man's perspective on how to deal with postpartum within the marriage, so post baby.
Those mm-hmm. days were hard.
So hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking back to Maddox.
Right? It's always your first.
It is. The first is always the first.
Well, he was just hard altogether too.
So hard.
I mean, first ones are always just hard usually.
Nora.
Yeah. This is tough because
babies having babies.
This is kind of tough because me as a dad now, knowing all that I know, seems fairly easy to address it.
Right.
But it's one of those things that even if I had this knowledge, I would be like, yeah, well, you can't relate.
Yeah.
Because you don't have my kid, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think just being more aware, working nights, it was like the perfect storm, Maddox, of the issues. But just trying to be as aware. And really, I think some of the ways that we did was just me loving you and trusting you. Mm-hmm. And there was opportunity for you to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew that it wasn't going to lead to me freaking out or whatever else, you know?
Totally.
I could just think of one specific
conversation.
Mm-hmm. But, or you want me to say it?
I don't care.
Oh, yeah. I just remember one time where I'm coming home from nights and Leanne's just been up with Maddox all night. I mean, he had colic or something. He'd just scream all the time.
Oh, baby.
And
you're coming home to go to bed.
Yeah, and I'm coming home to go to bed, which means he's probably going to be up at some point. And he's still being fed, so by mama. And so there's that to consider. But anyways, I just remember as I'm trying to get undressed and stuff for the day or for the night, and she comes into the bathroom, and she goes, so I want to get into the car, and I want to drive. I want to drive, and I don't ever want to come back.
100%.
And I was like, okay. Well, I love you, and I'm grateful that you trust me enough to be able to say that. But if you don't come back, it's going to be bad. No, I'm kidding. I was like, I just love that you trust me enough to say that.
Yeah.
But I trust you enough to know that you're just saying that because you've had a really rough night. And please take some time, whatever you need. You know, let me take care of Maddox and do what I can. What?
Yeah, I think it was like, call my sister. Call my sister. She'll come take care of him.
100%. Call people in.
Oh, like called back. Yeah, we just called in backup. My dad came down a lot. Amber came up a lot.
I had a really bad postpartum with Nora. Lee can attest to that more than anyone else on the planet. And our specific time where it was like, it had escalated just a little too far. Like everything was Ethan was working nights. Mm-hmm. I was tired. Nora was a hard baby. Blah, blah, blah. Perfect storm. But I just remember a certain situation happened and Ethan was like, I think you should call Leanne. And literally it was just like, I don't know if you probably won't even remember that phone call, but
worst memory ever.
Yeah. Ethan was like, I was like jumping overboard. It was awful. And Ethan didn't know what to do. He didn't say anything about loving or trusting me. He just goes, hey, I think it's time to call Leanne. And my parents didn't live here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you were our only friends when we first moved here. And I just remember being like, hey Lee, Ethan said I needed to call you. And you came over. You're like, okay. And you came over and neither one of you probably remember this, but I remember because I was way in over my head, but you just held Nora for a couple of hours on my couch really late at night. And mm-hmm. I slept and I just stayed in my room. And then I got up and it was like a feeding and you were so gentle. You were like, hey, she's hungry. I was like, thanks. And you were like, all right, I'm going to go. And I was like, good night. And it was so fine. But I remember that was like the first step. Ethan was like, hey, you need to call someone. Like you need a little bit of help and that's okay.
Yeah.
Call in your reinforcements. Yeah. Don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah.
They're needed and helpful.
Totally. I remember whenever, Maddox was a really hard baby. Abram was a super easy baby. Eli was a super easy baby, but all of a sudden I felt very overwhelmed with three children.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what, three and under, mm-hmm. four and under. It was like, okay, this is kind of a madhouse. And I remember, like, coming to the realization that I had to, like, I really did have to carve out time for my thoughts to be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I took every opportunity that I was nursing, but I'm like, okay, I can't flip through a Bible right now, but I'm going to listen to something. I'm going to listen to a sermon. This was like before podcasts, I think, but we were listening to a lot
on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't know how we used to listen to them. It was on our phones.
Sermon index
or something. We would listen to it. So I was just like, all right, this is what I'm going to do when I'm nursing. I'm just going to fill my head. I'm not going to focus on the mess of the house, the crazy toddlers, the diapers everywhere. I'm just going to take these 15 minutes that I get to sit down and I'm going to fill my head with really, really good things because I don't have any good in me right now.
Yeah.
I need to fill it back up.
Yeah. I'll say with Abel and crew, I had much easier time with like dealing with postpartum, but I think that was largely in part to Ethan had a better understanding.
Yeah, with Nora, that was...
What that time can look like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a really hard season. And then we had Abel and it was like, Ethan was more aware. I was more aware.
Yeah.
And it looked a lot more like, hey, are you at max capacity? Mm-hmm. Like, are you done? Are you tapped out? What do you need from me? And Ethan would come to me like that. And then it gave me like, exactly like Ryan was saying, it gave me that place of like, I love you. Yeah. I love you. And I can trust you. And I can say like, hey, if you don't get all these kids up out of this house, I'm going to go crazy, you know? But there was real honesty in that. So I would say like, anything with postpartum, you take that with complete grace mm-hmm. and love and trust and mm-hmm. like know that your wife is like, you can never fully comprehend the amount of hormones that just left her body. Yeah. And she's like, her mind does feel really just crazy.
Depleted. Yeah.
And And then as a wife, we will never fully understand like how that feels for a husband to be like, I don't know what to do for you.
My body's not yours. My body's not mine. My body belongs to this other person now.
Yeah. And they still have to like go out and work and like do all of these things. And so we will never fully comprehend both. So I think like in grace. All things, grace.
Grace upon grace.
Yes.
Upon
like grace. You approach it with so much grace. And I'm really excited to dig more. Should
approach it with so much grace.
And I think in the wives too, like you don't have to be ripping your husband's head off just because he doesn't get it.
Yeah. You can just being honest about it too.
Yeah.
Like letting him know what you're feeling, why you're feeling, or that you don't know what you're feeling, but
yeah,
just vocalizing that, you know, so you can.
100%.
Yeah. And I cannot tell you how far it went with me. This is going to cause some controversy, I think, because I know a lot of people are like, okay, whatever. But I'm like, Ryan would get up with me. I was nursing for whatever, the first 8 weeks with everybody at least.
This should be the way it should be, though.
That's what we say. Yeah. We're like, Ryan got up every single time. Like,
to nurse.
Yeah, he got
up. Well, not to nurse,
but. Yeah, he would nurse, and I would
you're like, here's a baby.
She would get up and prep, and I would get up.
Yeah, I would get up,
change
like,
the diaper.
Get my shirts ready, you know, get the pads ready, get the burp cloth, and he would get the baby, change the diaper, wake him up a little bit, and then bring him to me. And then he'd conk out while I was nursing, and that was fine.
I only know of one other couple that does that, and I think that's really sweet that y'all do that. Two other couples.
Did. We don't do it anymore, girl.
Totally. That never happened up in my house. I was like, Ethan, you got the baby? He's like, no, I got
you know what?
You.
I think partially it started.
But
I
changed diapers in
it. You didn't do it with Maddox because you weren't there for nights.
Yeah.
But it started when I had a C-section with Abram, and I had multiple C-sections. And so it was literally like, I can't get up.
Yeah.
I cannot sit up. So he would have to get up, sit me up.
Yes.
It was easier for him, quicker for him to go get the baby.
Totally. I was just going to say, Ethan specifically reserved mornings for me. That was like, he didn't do it all throughout the night, but then at the morning I could check out at like 6 a.m. I knew that he would take the baby into the living room and not bring me a child back.
That's nice.
For like 2 or 3 hours. That was like my
that was
my
window.
Golden hour. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, night. To the person that sent this question, and if this is your first baby and your first like postpartum go around, just like hang in there. I think they executively, maybe like the emotional part doesn't get easier, but you both are going to grow and learn and know, and you trust each other more each go around. Cause by crew, it was like easy. Well, maybe I was still in very postpartum from Abel when I was having crew. So didn't really have a break from those postpartums, but it did feel so easy. Like not the emotional side of it, the like getting the hang of it, knowing that it was going to be hard.
Totally.
It's good.
And ask for help.
Yeah. Ask for so much help, please. Help. Okay, so those are the end of the rapid fire questions, and we really hope that you guys could take something from this.
Yeah,
we are grateful.
So
for
grateful.
Our husbands.
Yeah, thank y'all for being here tonight.
Grateful for y'all.
Aww. Look at you, little guys, in unison.
That's right.
Anyway,
all right. So we'll see y'all again next week.
Yeah,
with our next guest.
Yeah, I was about to say with a new guest.
That's right. And we started off in the first little. 10 through 12, we can't guarantee that we're going to go like in consecutive order here. It just happened to be that
just
where we
happened.
Started. So next week, we'll bring you a brand new Dear Hero, a Dero, and some more verses from Proverbs 31. And we're all just getting those eye rolls in check and learning lots.
We'll put a question box in. You can answer it.
Yeah.
Check it out on Spotify.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
Yep.
Hey y'all, thanks for joining us on Harvest. And don't forget to subscribe on Spotify so you're always up to date.
And come hang out with us on Instagram because you know we're always having a good time. And as always, thanks for listening.